Well, praise God. God is good all the time. You don't say it, I will. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was thinking about sharing a message today, and I might change. I might go in another direction, Margaret. I just thought I'd tell you. First of all, I'm going to ask if anybody has any testimonies they'd like to give. Does anybody have a testimony they'd like to give today? Just burning inside of you and you just can't stand it till you get it out? Okay. Going once, going twice. Gone. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got a friend that works over at Kroger. Her name's Patty.
Yeah.
She's been driving this old car. Now, this might not mean nothing to you guys, but she does everything for the Kroger. She got this old car, and it's only got about 200 some thousand miles on it.
Amen. Well, being that Clyde mentioned it, I'll share the poem. And it goes, why do you struggle and why do you fret when all that you accomplish is to get upset? When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I will give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And I tell you what, when you come to the realization of that, the true realization of that, then you don't struggle with everything that's going on around you. You just say, Lord, I know I'm in your hand. No man can snatch me out of your hand. No situation can snatch me out of your hand. And I'm just going to trust you no matter what's going on. And, buddy, I tell you, if you do that, you're going to be standing in a secret place of the Most High God. And you're going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll tell you that right now. Praise the Lord. I was going to share a message with you, and I think I'm going to go in a different direction here today. Sorry, guys. I'm going to have a new title for the thing. I'll have to give it to you afterwards. But as we were singing that, thank God I'm a tree. God said I'm a tree planted by living waters. You know, a lot of times we sing those songs, and we don't really totally understand what they're saying. And I'm going to share some scriptures to you today about trees. And I want you all to know you are trees of the Lord. And the first one is Psalm number 1. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to just pour yourself through me, Lord. Lord, I can say nothing that will help anybody, but a few words from your lips can change lives, can encourage hearts, and can set people free. In Jesus' name, I ask you to just have your way. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that you accomplish here by your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Psalm number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. You know, I'm going to tell you what, folks, sometimes the Christian people are the ones that stand in the way of the sinners because they're too busy telling them that they're sinners and not busy enough telling them about the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. And that when Jesus died on Calvary, that he took the sins of the whole world. And you know how much the whole world is? That's all of it. The whole world. But anyway, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I tell you what, sometimes we can get awful scornful towards other people if we're not careful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And you know, the law that he really wants you to meditate in is not the Ten Commandments. He wants you to meditate in the law of his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. You know, he said, I give you a new commandment. And the new commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the commandment. You meditate in that, and I tell you what, you're going to be way, way ahead of the game as far as the Lord's concerned. You know, I shared this down at the radio station the other day a little bit. One time I read a book that Jimmy Carter wrote, you know. And, you know, Jimmy Carter, whether you agree with him politically or not, it doesn't make any difference. He's a Christian man, you know. He loves the Lord. He's almost 100 years old. He's got cancer, and he's out building houses for people that ain't got houses. I mean, think about it. You know, if he isn't showing the love of God, then who is? you know, but he used to go back to Plains, Georgia and teach Sunday school. And they said his Sunday school every Sunday, and his Sunday school was just overrun with people. They had so many people come and sit in his Sunday school class. A lot of people didn't know that about him. But also, you know, he was talking about this evangelist that he knew that was a South American evangelist. And he said he just admired this guy so much because he just was so successful in his ministry and just loved people and treated people good and everything and had a lot of success. And he asked him one time, he asked that guy, he said, "What's the secret to your ministry?" And he said, "My secret is I love the one who's standing in front of me." And you know what? That's what it's all about, folks. Greater love than this hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And you know, Jesus laid down his life for people that don't even know that he's their friend. And he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." He doesn't say the ungodly will perish. He says the way of the ungodly will perish. And you know what? We need to start telling people that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. He's the only way. There is no other way other than him. And, you know, I love that scripture. And, you know, today we were, I used Isaiah 61, 1 through 11 back in the Sunday school class. And we were talking about a scripture. And I'm just going to read you that scripture just to balance it out a little bit. I'll have to get it out here a minute. But that scripture was Psalm 102, verse 13. "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." And we spent the whole Sunday school class on that one verse. And I'm going to tell you what, God has appointed times and appointed seasons for everything. And I'm going to tell you what, some of you all, this is your appointed time. This is your appointed season. And what you need to do is you need to ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And each day you need to ask him that. And in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 11, Jesus quoted part of this scripture the day that he began his ministry. And it goes like this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And up in the New Testament, that's what he read. He closed the book and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, he didn't read the whole thing. So what he was saying is that part of that scripture was totally fulfilled, because that's exactly what he came to do, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, you know, to do all the things that said there, to set at liberty the captives. And buddy, if you've ever read any of the Gospels, you know he did exactly that with everybody he came in contact with the people that were demon-possessed and the people that needed healing. He gave them healing, and the ones that were brokenhearted, he healed the brokenhearted, and he raised the dead. He did a little bit of everything. But when he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," and he closed the book, and they wanted to stone him, and they started coming after him, and he said, and he walked out from their midst. They couldn't touch him, because you know what? It wasn't his appointed time yet for them to get a hold of him. They couldn't have killed him if they wanted to. And they wanted to. I'm telling you, they'd have took him out and stoned him over that. Because when he got up and read that, you know, they were upset. But the rest of that scripture reads, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord And the rest of it says, the day of the vengeance of our God. And one time I was studying into this, and I said, Lord, what does this all mean? And I felt like he said to me, ask me how I'm going to get vengeance. And I said, okay, how are you going to get vengeance? He said, now read the rest of it. To comfort all that mourn. Wait a minute, to comfort all that mourn? That's how you're going to get vengeance? That's how he's going to get vengeance. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so that's how his ways are above our ways. Our ways are, if somebody treats us bad, we're going to treat them bad back. You know, his way is, he's going to comfort the ones that are mourning. He's going to forgive them. He's going to love them. You know, he's going to do good to them that would despitefully use you. And in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. The coals of fire are not to destroy them. It's to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in their lives. The coals are taken off the altar of God, you know. But I want you to know, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And why is he going to do this? That he might be glorified. He, God, might be glorified. Because he's going to be glorified in you as that change takes completely place in you. And they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And you know, there's a lot of people out there, they have generation after generation after generation of their family, it's desolate. They have no hope. They've got nothing to help them. You know, they feel like they can't succeed, they can't do this. And there's a lot of people like that, you know. They feel like no matter what they do, it just won't work for them, you know. But I tell you what, he's going to bring forth a people, the trees of the Lord, the planting of the Lord, that they're going to begin to give them the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of those kind of things. And you know, as they grow to maturity in Christ. And it says, and they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them, for the Lord loves judgment. I hate robbery. For burnt offerings I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And see, instead of under the old covenant offering burnt offerings, he's going to direct their work in truth, and he's going to make an everlasting covenant. And that everlasting covenant was that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. So we need to quit imputing their trespasses. We need to start telling them what Christ has already accomplished, so that they can begin to walk in the victory and in the anointing of what God has already done for them. It says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring spring among the people. All that see shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, they give the genealogies of Jesus, you know, coming pretty far back in the Old Testament. And they tell you there's 14 generations and 14 generations and 14 generations. And if you take 3 times 14, what do you get? 42. But if you count them, there's only 41. You mean there's a mistake there? No, there's not. other places in the scriptures, and it says, and there shall be a seed accounted unto him as a generation. Hello, seed. That's you. That's you. You're that seed. You're that 42nd generation. Praise God. And he says there, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causeth the thing that which is sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God shall cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Folks, no matter what it looks like out there, God's getting ready to do some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. And I'm just going to tell you that it's not all bleak out there. It's it's way better than what we think it is. And he's about ready to do some marvelous things. And he's going to do it first in a small company, you know, the First Fruits company. But I tell you what, eventually he's going to do it to all mankind. For creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting to see the sons of God, the lid taking off of them, so that they can be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. That's what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. Read it. Beautiful chapter. You should read the Romans, the 8th chapter, over and over and over. Because I tell you what, it's one of the key scriptures in the Bible. It tells you in the first part of, there's therefore now. Now, that means present tense, right now. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you know what? What's he saying? Don't ever condemn people. Don't be a condemner. There's none in you. There shouldn't be none in you. And if there is in you, repent and ask God to take it out of you. Because you shouldn't be condemning other people. There's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you know, when we're talking about these trees that I was talking to you about, I might have to borrow Brenda or Buddy's Bible. I think they have an amplified. I didn't bring an amplified because I didn't know I was going to share this today. But I'll try to read it to you out of the King James. But in Zechariah, one time the Lord woke me up and way in the middle of the night. And he started to deal with me about Zechariah. And I started reading that. And boy, I tell you what, the anointing was so strong on me when I was reading that, I thought I was going to just explode. And I read it, and I read it. And I didn't share anything about it for 2 or 3 years because I didn't feel like I was supposed to for 2 or 3 years. But I'm going to tell you what, this is a mighty, mighty powerful scripture here. And it's Zechariah chapter 4. It says, and he's talking here, and he says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man is wakened out of his sleep. And you know what? In Genesis, when God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, never did say he woke him up. And we've heard sermons on that before. Never did say woke him up. And you know what? There's different places in Scripture where he says, awake thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. And you know what? It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to realize what God is doing and what he wants to do in us. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate this. I'm going to try to find that real quick. Like I say, I don't have my phone with me. I could have pulled it up on my phone. For some reason, I left my phone at home this morning. But in Zechariah chapter 4, I'd rather read it to you out of this. In chapter 4, he says, "And you, son of man, take a towel." That's the wrong place. Ezekiel. I mean Zechariah. I'm sorry. Let me get it here. I'll get it in a minute here. Praise the Lord. Okay, I found it here, finally. You ever get in somebody else's Bible? It's hard to find stuff in other people's Bible. I can find it in mine just like that. But when I get in somebody else's, it takes me a little while. Praise the Lord. But anyway, Zechariah chapter 4. And the Lord woke me up and he began to deal with me about this. It says, "And the angel who talked with me came again and waked me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'See, I behold a lampstand all of gold, and with it bowls for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are the seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it.' It said, 'And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil.' So I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel who talked with me answered me, 'Do you not know what these are?'" And I'm going to tell you what, if God asks you, do you know something, don't act like you do when you don't. I'm telling you. Confess your ignorance before the Lord. Because I tell you what, if you confess your ignorance, he'll open things up to you that you've never seen before. And things that will just knock your socks clean off of you. But don't say, "Oh yeah, Lord, I know what that is." Say, when he asks you, say, "No, Lord, you show me, please show me." He said, "And the angel that talked with me answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said unto me, 'In addition to the bowl of the candlesticks, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, to whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel?'" Now, I'm going to tell you what Zerubbabel means. Zerubbabel means one born out of Babylon. And I'm going to tell you what. Every one of us were born out of Babylon. When we were born again, we came out of the old Babylonian system, out of the old worldly system, into the new system, which is God's system. We were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And we were given a new identity. And he says here, "For her you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, with Joshua, who led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, shall become a plain, a mere molehill. He shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, 'Grace, grace to it.' And moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish. Then shall you know and recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you, who with reason despise not the day of small things. For these seven shall rejoice when they see the pummelet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro throughout all the earth.' Then I said unto the angel that talked with me, 'What are these two olive trees?'" Okay? "On the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it. And a second time I said to him, 'What are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden tubes or spouts by which the golden oil is emptied out?' And he answered me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two sons of Oel, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, and the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. Praise God. Now I want to tell you, when he said Joshua and Zerubbabel, the name Joshua literally means God the Savior. And he was showing us in type and shadow here of Jesus was the original olive tree. And you know, he had to come forth. He was God the Savior. He's on the right side. He's standing on the right hand of the Father. And he's the lampstand that he's talking about where it pours in the ceaseless supply of oil. That's the church. And standing on the other side is Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was one born out of Babylon. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the sons of God. That's the people that we just read about, them trees of righteousness back there that are going to begin to build the former waste places and do all this other stuff. But they're both pouring into the church. And I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the problems that I have sometimes with the people who teach a deeper truth a lot of times. They tend to sort of down the church. And I'm going to tell you, you don't down the church. You don't down them. You're going to marry her. Amen. You're going to marry her. It's a matter of time. When you grow up in Christ and you come to the fullness of all that he is, you're going to marry the church. And there's a scripture that says, don't you know that your sons will marry you? Well, that sounds like a perverse thing, but it's really not, because the sons are the sons of God. They're going to marry the church. And they're pouring in a ceaseless supply of oil. And we need to pray for the church out there, because they're in a place of confusion right now. They're too worried about getting more cars and more houses. And, you know, I see some of these big ministers, and my God, sometimes it just makes me sick to watch the stuff that's going on. Spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to get new planes, bigger planes. When they got a plane sitting there, there's nothing wrong with it, and they're getting a bigger one than that one. Because, you know, I can travel faster, and I can do this or I can do that. Oh, my God. What in the world is going on? But I tell you what, a lot of that stuff is going to come. It's going to come to an end eventually. Because God is going to begin to bring forth the sons of God, and they're going to begin to put things right. But I want you to know that where it talks here about the two anointed ones, and I lift up my eyes, and behold a scroll flying or floating through the air. And the angel said unto me, what do you see? And I answered and I said, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits by 30 cubits. Feet, and its breadth is 10 cubits or 15 feet. And then he said unto me, this is the curse that goes out over the whole face of the whole land. For everyone who steals shall be cut off from hence and according to it, and the curse written on this subject on the scroll. And everyone who swears falsely shall be cut off from henceforth. I will bring the curse forth, says the Lord, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. Anyone who swears by my name falsely, and it shall abide in the midst of the house and consume it. And the angel who talked with me came forward and said, lift up now your eyes and see what this is that goeth forth. And he said, what is it? What is it? It symbolizes. And he said, this goes forth in an ephah-sized vessel for separate gains, all collecting together, a symbol or sinners. Mentioned above is a resemblance of their iniquity. But when it's talking about this scroll, I'm going to tell you what this scroll is. It's the Ten Commandments. You can't keep them. There's no way you can keep the Ten Commandments. A lot of people in the church system think, boy, if they hang them Ten Commandments on the back wall, if you just do them, you'll be okay. If the Jews could have just done them, they'd have been okay, but they couldn't, because, you know, the Ten Commandments are the law, and under the law, no man will be justified. You'll only be justified under the grace of God, under the mercy of God, under the forgiveness of what Jesus accomplished on Calvary. You know, Scripture tells us that he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and he nailed them to the tree. And I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly what he did with the Ten Commandments, because you couldn't keep them. He was the only one that ever kept them. And you know what? Try as hard as you might, you can't do it. But I'm going to tell you what, you're part of that tree company. And in Revelations chapter 22, I'll go back there, you see them two trees again. Revelations chapter 22. Sorry, I have to hunt this stuff because I don't have it. Revelations chapter 22. Let's see here. Because I hadn't planned on speaking on this today, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And let's start up here. And it says, "And I saw no temple therein," and this was talking about in the city of God. "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine on it. For the glory of the Lord God did lighten it, and the Lamb are the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut day or night, and there shall no more be night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh it to lie, but that which is written in the Lamb's book of life." And in chapter 22, "And he answered me, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night, and there shall no need of any candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God give them light. And they shall reign forever and ever." And I'm going to tell you what, that's a wonderful promise. And you're part of that tree. Jesus was the original tree. He's on the one side. And let me tell you what, you're on the other side. You're part of that tree company, and it's a tree of life. And when you come in contact with people, you need to give them life, not death. You need to give them encouragement, not discouragement. You need to give them positiveness, not condemnation, because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, if you listen to some of the things that you hear Christians say sometimes, you think, my goodness, Lord, when are you going to fulfill that part of it? But you know what? He is going to fulfill that part of it, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you ain't got condemnation in you, you're not going to condemn anybody else. And I tell you what, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they say, well, I can't wait for that great white throne judgment to come and all this and that, and we'll all stand before Jesus and all this and that. In the New Testament, it says, "Know you not that the saints will judge the world?" You're going to judge the world. But you're going to judge it with such mercy, such forgiveness, such restorative power, that you're going to fulfill what was said back here in Isaiah about you'll take care of the former desolations and the waste places, and you'll build again the cities in people's lives, you know, people who have destructive cities in their lives and all these desolations and everything. You know, you look out there and you know, there's even cities in America where literally the actual city itself is so overrun with drugs that it's nothing but a desolate, just a hole, you might as well say. That's all it is. My God, we just need for the sons of God to come forth and begin to come forth in a word of power and a word of authority, so that creation can begin to be set free. And it's going to happen, folks. And you're a part of it. But I just want you to know, don't get too discouraged when you see all these things happening and you see all this stuff that in the natural seems to be a horrible thing. Because I'm going to tell you what. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And kings are come to the brightness of your rising. The politicians and the city governments, and all, they don't have the answers. There's only one answer. It's Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll have that answer as you come to the completion of what he's doing in you, because you'll be setting creation free. And if you all will, you can stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. I don't know if you got anything you want to play, Cynthia. If you got something you want to play, you can. If you don't, then okay. Praise the Lord. Jim, you want to help us sing that song? It's He in the Midst of Thee. He's the water running free around the tree of your city. You remember that song?
He in the midst of thee. He's the water running free around the tree of your city. Where the Lamb now is the light. Where there's no more night and all the tears are gone and your sorrows flow to the Christ in the midst of thee.
Great song. And you know what? Lord, I would just desire to see that. And you know what? It's going to happen, folks. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this people, Lord. I ask you to help them realize that it's you that's going to accomplish all this, but you're going to accomplish it in your people, Father. For all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation shall be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God when this happens. And Father, help us to begin to just so yield ourselves to you that this happens right on time. And we thank you for what you're doing. I ask you to bless your people and bless our fellowship as we go back there to eat today. And just let your presence just so surround people as they talk and season their talk with your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer or anything, we'd be glad to pray with you. God bless you.